Welcome to Ode to Games. My name's Logan Plan, joined today by Zach Rost. How's it going, Zach?
That was a lot of energy, and I didn't expect for you to start with me, so now I'm a little thrown off, but it's going good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off your game. We're also joined by Kevin Valine. How's it going, Kev?
That was a normal amount of energy.
Are you thrown off your game?
I went second, so I was prepared.
Okay.
What?
Are you thrown off your game?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Cool. Well, we got a lot to talk about this week in the Nintendo world. It's the fourth anniversary of the Nintendo Switch, and along with that, more rumors of an updated Switch model coming down the pipeline. But first, we're going to get into the Pokemon Presents event, which happened a mere 7 hours after we recorded last week. We just missed it. Couldn't delay to record our episode a bit later in the week. So we're talking about it now, and two major things were announced: Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl remakes of Gen 4, and then a new title called Pokemon Legends Arceus, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Arceus?
I always thought it was Arceus until the official presentation said it was Arceus.
Which means that it is Arceus. They're going to get it
yep,
wrong.
Exactly.
I always thought it was Arceus, too. Yeah? I was like watching it with a... I was just like, oh, this is Arceus. And it's like, nope. Okay.
Yep. Anyways, we're going to talk about that one afterwards. First, we're going to talk about what I think the three of us wanted to see, which was Gen 4 remakes, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, going back to the Sinnoh region, coming out late 2021. Has a pretty different art style than we've seen since Pokemon transitioned to the 3D era, beginning with X and Y on the 3DS. It's opting for a more chibi style is the most noticeable thing right off the bat about this reveal. Kevin, I want to get your take on that art style.
Yeah, that's one of the few things that I think I'm not particularly sold on is the art style. And people say like, oh, the original game was a chibi art style as well. And that is true. On the overworld, the characters were also like that. But yeah. I would argue that in pixel graphics, it looks better. I think that the chibi style lends itself much better to a pixel art style. It looks a little bit weirder when you send it into 3D and the characters are like a little bit bigger, but they're still chibi. Like there was one moment, there was one shot where you walk into Jubilife City and one of the characters starts walking down to come and see you. And it looks really unnatural, just like them kind of like sauntering down. I'm not really sold on that because I also think that when you get into battles and it shows the full like character portrait and everything, it looks great. I think it looks really good. I wish that they would have gone something a little bit more akin to Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, at least in terms of how they designed the character, where it looks a little bit more like an actual human instead of the chibi style. I understand why they did it. That is how the original looked. I just think that the 2D pixel style of the original games made that chibi style look a little bit better.
I've not been a fan of the art style in Pokemon since X and Y, since they moved it to the 3D models. I did not like how X and Y looked. I just don't like the character models for some reason. The humans just look really weird to me. So I was actually excited to see them going for something different here with this remake, because it does look way more like the originals. It looks significantly like them. It looks like classic Pokemon, even from like the trees when you're out in the route and the buildings. Like it all looks way more like Pokemon of old than the newer ones we've seen on 3DS and Switch. And I'm a big fan of returning to that, because to me, that's what hits the nostalgia for me, is like the overhead shots of towns looking like they did in this trailer. It looks like a modernized version of those DS games. So I'm a fan of it. I understand where you're coming from the chibi thing for the character models. It actually reminds me a lot of A Link Between Worlds, which when it's top down in motion, it's a gorgeous game. But in those story moments, when it kind of pans down and is closer and you see the characters standing, they look really weird, and I got the exact same vibes from this Pokemon thing. So I think for 95% of the game, when you're overhead running around the world, I think the characters look good, but it is in those moments when you're having dialogue and conversations with people and it gets closer in that I think they look a little off. But I like it. I like that they are doing something different. Zach, what's your take?
Personally, I like you said, it's just the character models for me that I'm not a huge fan of. The way they brought the, you know, 2D aspects into 3D for the environment and all that stuff, I think it looks really good. So the chibi character designs, it's weird that you said it look reminds you of A Link Between Worlds, because it kind of reminded me of the Link's Awakening remake. They kind of look very toyish. which it worked really well for Link's Awakening, but you know, they went full into that toy
because that's aesthetic. A prettier this game than this one looks like.
It is a very pretty game
because yeah. It's not Pokemon.
But you know, overall, I think that the way I love the direction they're taking this, and that they didn't stick with the X and Y onward sort of style. Mm-hmm. I do think that having the Let's Go character models would have been nice with following Pokemon, which is a thing that a lot of Pokemon fans love.
You can do that in Amity Park in Diamond.
Amity Park, yeah.
Yeah.
You can. So. They just like to bring that feature back very sparingly.
Yep.
Yeah, I was glad to see it, so I'm definitely going to play it. Very excited. This is what a lot of people were asking for, so I'm glad mm-hmm. they're actually bringing it. But people were going to complain no matter what. That's what they do, especially Pokemon mm-hmm. fans, so. I'm looking forward to it regardless of what I think about the character models.
Mm-hmm. And we actually do know a little bit more about the development of this one. It's actually not being handled by Game Freak. It's being handled by Ilka, who worked on, I believe, Pokemon Home. They assisted Game Freak in development of some of these apps that complemented the core Pokemon experiences. And now they're getting a crack at their own remake for this. And I think it's the first game that this studio has developed, been the primary developer on. So that is pretty interesting. And that also may be why they opted for a simpler art style, since it was the first project that this team was entirely tackling. So that's something worth noting. And I think that the biggest question mark right now is something Kevin brings up a lot when it comes to these is, are they going to bring in Platinum additions to this game? Because they were calling it a faithful remake to the Diamond and Pearl experience, but then I wish I had the tweet. I don't think I liked it, but I saw something that someone saw a Pokemon in the trailer that's only in the Platinum decks, which had them excited that it looks like some Platinum stuff's in it. So maybe it won't be features. It'll just be Pokemon, which is better than nothing, because that's one of your biggest complaints, I know, Kev.
Yeah. Yeah, I've given up on the idea of them having a lot of the story aspects and like this, the Giratina's world, the Distortion world to go into, because that is very much Platinum. And if mm-hmm. you're not remaking Platinum, that stuff's not going to make it into these Diamond and Pearl remakes. So I understand that. At the very least, I do hope that they bring some more of the Pokemon balancing that was kind of missing in Diamond and Pearl, most specifically the fire types, and the fact that if you didn't pick Chimchar, it was Ponyta or nothing. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that at the very least, if they're going to bring anything from Platinum over to these remakes, it is the more balanced Pokemon that you can find in the wild through the Sinnoh decks. All the other stuff would be cool if they had it. I know that there was extra content with the with post game in Platinum going to the other island. I think they added some stuff there with Platinum, but most specifically, I do hope that the better balanced Pokedex comes back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if that tweet I saw is true, then it looks like that is what they're bringing back. And they also mentioned quality of life improvements that more recent entries have made. Not sure what that's going to look like yet. If I had to guess, EXP share is probably what that means, because starting in X and Y, that's something you can trigger on or off at any time and just have your entire party level up at once. And I'm guessing that's what it's probably going to be, things like that to streamline the experience. But I'm pretty excited. I do really love Gen 4, and I'm down with the look of this game, and I'm looking forward to playing it. Brilliant Diamond all the way for me, by the way.
Pearl.
Shining. Absolutely.
Shining
Pearl.
I mean, it's just, if you've played these games before, you're probably just going back to the one that you picked up first. Whether you picked up Diamond first, or you picked up Pearl first. That's what I'm doing with Pearl. Mm-hmm. So I assume that everyone else is doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the Pokemon differences between the two.
Palkia and Dialga.
I know that one. The less significant ones.
Man. What even was it? I forget.
Skuntank? I don't think I got Skuntank.
Oh! Was it Krogunk?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it was. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Was it Krogunk and stuff?
I think Krogunk is in Pearl. Yeah.
See,
Krogunk's better.
I probably also don't remember it very well, because I'm assuming that they got rid of a lot of that for Platinum.
Uh-huh.
And at a certain point, I just played Platinum instead of the other ones. So I think I've spent more time in Platinum than the other ones. So I kind of forget what those region-specific ones were. But I think that was one of them.
So I do want to ask, Kevin, you specifically, you've been off the Pokemon train for a long time. Is this a day one buy for you to get back into Gen 4?
Yeah, it is. because out of all of the Pokemon games that there are, Gen 4 is the one that I have the most nostalgic attachment to. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that's ruined, like some people's were with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, unknown at this point. But just because of that nostalgic factor, it is the one that sticks in my brain the most out of all of these games.
Yeah.
That 15 years later, I want to go back and re-experience those, and it'd be a day one purchase for me.
Yeah. The price is $60, by the way, for these remakes.
Unfortunately, but expected.
Yeah.
A remake.
Zach, is this a day one buy for you?
Setting. Yeah, absolutely. Very similar to Kevin. I have a whole lot of nostalgia for the fourth generation. That was really peak Pokemon for our age group. So absolutely day one. And my Pearl got stolen when I was a child. So this will be a real redemption arc.
Lost my Pearl.
Oh, perfect. It'll be a redemption for both of us.
A little story. My Pokemon Pearl had a bunch of Pokemon from Fire Red that I brought over. I had like level 100 Charizard and Zapdos and Mewtwo and all these level 100 Pokemon. And then I lost it. And I lost like hundreds of hours of Pokemon Pearl and all these level 100s that have been with me since Fire Red. And I'm like, cool. Never found it.
Crap.
I still don't have another copy of Pearl. I bought a copy of Diamond, but I never got around to picking up a copy of Pearl. So I'm going to need to do that at some point, right or wrong there.
I lost my Fire Red, which had all my level 100 Pokemon that I never did migrate over, which was rough. I never found it. I did end up replacing it. One of my friends had both Fire Red and Leaf Green, decided they didn't need both anymore, and sold me their Fire Red. And actually, Gen 4 is the only one that I own all three of. I have all three of Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. Mm-hmm. I never actually have played Pearl. I picked it up way later, like just a few years ago. I got Pearl really, really cheap, but Diamond and Platinum I both played the heck out of. Such a good gen. And then the remakes that came after it, like Gen 4 as a whole is just phenomenal, with Heart Gold and Soul Silver that came immediately after. That was just the best age of Pokemon, the DS era Gen 4. I don't really like Gen 5. I know a lot of people do, though.
Yeah, I still have a soft spot for Gen 5, but Gen 6 starts to real go off the rails, so gotta enjoy these older games while it lasts. We've only got so many more remakes before they start doing Let's Go, and then I don't even want to get into those.
Yeah, like
these nice remakes while they're here.
If the next thing is Let's Go Johto, which it very well could be, if that comes down sometime down the line, it's like, I would just rather go play Heart Gold on my DS than go and play whatever that's going
to
be.
Specifically for Gen 2, there is no way to beat Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Those are arguably the best Pokemon games that have ever come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just no chance of any remake stacking up to those, especially to go Let's Go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got to enjoy this while it's here. I am very much looking forward to this later this year.
Yeah. And next year, we have to look forward to the game that Game Freak actually is working on, and that's Pokemon Legends Arceus, which is a open-world Pokemon adventure. It's set in the Sinnoh region, like 1,000 years ago or something like that, and it's about completing the first Pokedex. It seemed like more of an emphasis on catching. There is still battling, but there's a town in the middle of the map, and then you kind of venture off into an open world with trees that look much better than Sword and Shield's trees, which was a big point of contention when those games came out. And
that looked good.
You can duck in the grass and throw Pokeballs at wild Pokemon you see roaming about to either trigger a battle or just try and catch them right off the spot. And that's pretty much the extent of what we know. You can
dive. You can like do a little like dive roll. You
can do it. Yeah, combat roll.
Not sure what purpose that's going to serve exactly yet, but maybe to like dodge the Pokemon in the
Pokemon
wild.
Pokemon will be attacking the player.
I guess
that's what that means.
Yeah. You start with one of three starters, which was a minor disappointment for me, is that it's still a grass, a fire, and a water type. It's like, come on, just break all the conventions. Just really go out there. But yeah, it's from three separate gens. You have Cyndaquil from Gen 2, and then you have Rowlet from Gen 7, and then is Oshawott, right, from Gen 5 is the other one. So open world Pokemon, this is what people have been asking for. Zach, what did you think of this reveal?
I thought it was super cool. I love that they're trying new stuff. I think that they need more variations on what Pokemon can be. I know I saw a lot of people being like, oh, this is just Breath of the Wild, Breath of the Wild. Everything that comes out nowadays is just Breath of the Wild. But, you know, Pokemon has so many opportunities in this game to make it its own thing. And I know we don't know a lot, but I'm very excited to see what it could be. And I'm excited to, you know, try it out when it comes out next year. And then I'm going to play Let's Go Johto after that.
Yeah. I'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, I thought it was a really exciting reveal.
Messing with the, like, timeline, you know, it's throwing it way into the past, new stuff, first Pokedex. I thought the Pokedex was like a recent invention. Apparently that's just not true.
Yeah, they're like, this is 1,000 years ago, and then it's just a trainer wearing a cap and a scarf throwing Pokeballs at Pokemon, and I'm like,
you like granted into like stone or something? Is that the first Pokedex? Or like
it's not that different. Uh-huh. In terms of branching out, they didn't go too crazy. They are still relying on a lot of those tropes like the Pokedex, the catching, and the three starters. But hopefully it's the start of something fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Kev?
Cautiously optimistic is how I would describe it. After Sword and Shield, and even after just the last couple of games, I've realized that there's no point in getting like really hyped for these games anymore. I just have to like wait and wait for more information. And I feel like this one, I do need a lot more information before making like an actual judgment on it. The idea and the concept looks really cool. This is the stuff people have been wanting for a long time. And I feel like it's been what a lot of the fan games have been trying to make, that open world design where you can like throw Pokeballs outside of battle, just have this wide, expansive open world. That's what people have been wanting for Pokemon. And it's exciting to see them go in that direction and try and switch things up in a big way, not like Sun and Moon's Trials being like the big shakeup that they did a couple
of
years
back.
This is more
of really bad.
But see, that's the thing. You don't know how the final product is going to turn out and how it's going to stick the landing. And there are some points for concern just watching this trailer. Like, I know that the game is a year off. A year plus, possibly, depending on when in 2022, early 2022,
yeah,
but that could get pushed back
around
a year. But like, for example, there was that one shot. What was it? The Chimecho or what? It was like a floating Pokemon that was going up, and it was like going at like 4 frames, and you could just see it like jittering up and down as it was Chimecho. Yeah, going up and down. There were certain like performance aspects that did not look good. I expect some of those to get ironed out, but you never know on those. And then there's just other things like how is this world going to interact? What's the point of going forward? Are there going to be hopefully there are going to be other towns to go and visit? We don't know that yet. Like, what's going to be your driving force beyond just catching the Pokemon? The concept, I think, is really cool, but just where Pokemon has been the last number of years and how they have struggled when they've tried to come up with something new, even like Sword and Shield, trying to come up with something new with the wild area. And there were a lot of stumbles there. So I'm kind of just waiting for more information, see how the rest of the game is fleshed out. Where are the extra places that you're going to be going, towns and things and all that sort of stuff. But at the very least, I think the concept's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, I was going to bring up the wild area because I think that a lot of people are concerned that this is their first crack at a big open area, but it's not. The wild area was really big, and then they had other open areas in the DLC for Sword and Shield also. So this is kind of an idea they've been toying with on Switch, and I really disliked Sword, but the wild area is my favorite part. I had the most fun just roaming around that area and getting into battles and catching Pokemon to the point where my Pokemon became so overleveled that the main campaign was a joke. So if this entire game is just this big open area about catching Pokemon and they find new ways to make that compelling, so it's not just running around and filling out a Pokedex, which I think would be stale. I think there need to be other missions and objectives and goals other than
for
just
sure.
That.
Battles.
But if they get it right, I think it'll be really good. And if they don't get it quite right, I hope they don't abandon the idea and go back to what Pokemon's always been. I hope the Legends series is a new offshoot of the main series of Pokemon that continues if this game has some good ideas, which I'm sure it will. So I'm looking forward to it a lot. I think that, yeah, the performance issues are a small concern, but this game is at least a year away, so I don't think it's that much to be worried about. But I guess we'll see. It does feel like Pokemon games don't really get delayed. Like, one comes out every year.
No, like, that's the other concern.
So,
like, yeah,
they could just shove this thing out the door if it's not entirely ready. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it looked really cool. We talk about getting out of Pokemon all the time, and I think this is the two best announcements to get me back in: a remake of my favorite gen, and then this open world experiment, which I'm down to try. One thing worth noting: it's single player only. It doesn't look like there's any multiplayer connectivity in Pokemon Legends. It is looks like an entirely single player experience, which I think is really interesting for Pokemon, which throughout our entire lives has been all about kind of, until the Switch, it was about pushing what the Nintendo handhelds could do in terms of connectivity with your friends.
Yeah, and then they realized the Switch doesn't do a great job of that, so they're like, we're going to do... no multiplayer on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is interesting. I feel like a lot of what's keeping Sword and Shield around is like the shiny hunting for all these people and like trading all these Pokemon around and doing all these other battles. So mm-hmm. I wonder what... if there's no multiplayer, what kind of a staying power it's going to have, whether or not the game is really good, if it'll be able to like stay in people's minds or if that'll go away. I wonder.
Yeah. And I think overall, I'm just happy that they are trying something new, because that's what we have been bashing Pokemon for it feels like the last three gens.
So stale.
It's just, they've just been pumping out the same stuff every time. And the Switch has been a place where a lot of Nintendo franchises have kind of been reinvented and redefined. And Pokemon taking that next step is really exciting. And I think it's what we all wanted when it entered the home console era. Now that Nintendo doesn't have a dedicated handheld anymore, I think that's what we were all looking for. And Let's Go wasn't it. Sword and Shield wasn't it. This looks like the first real big step in that direction. So I'm just happy that they're taking a risk, because this could pan out poorly, but I'd still be happy they did it, because it's something different.
And they've also got Diamond and Pearl coming out. So
yep, which is going to sell millions.
Yep.
So
Yep. And absolutely. And Legends are Arceus. I keep saying Arceus. Arceus. even if it's not that great, it'll probably still sell well anyways, because it's got the Pokemon branding on it. So yeah. I don't think they have to worry too much about it. But man, I hope it's good. I hope that they give me a reason to go back to a new entry in a Pokemon game, because I haven't had that reason to go back for quite some time.
Yeah, but that's coming out 2022.
When does Snap come out?
Snap is out soon.
April.
Doing very soon, right?
It's coming out next month. Which we also got a new look at in the trailer. I didn't really look, because I'm like, I've seen enough of that game. I don't need to see anymore. But it looks gorgeous. That game looks really great. So all in all, a really great Pokemon presentation. You know, I was thinking, how good would that Nintendo Direct have been if these two games were in it? It would have been an entirely different conversation around that thing. Had the one big thing at the end been... these two Pokemon games, like announce Splatoon 3 and then say, hey, we actually have a couple more things to show, and then it's these two, people would have been talking about how that was one of the best directs ever. So I'm sure Nintendo wishes they could have included this, but Pokemon just has decided to do their own thing at this point.
And
Pokemon's certainly big enough.
Yeah. Well, one, it's certainly big enough, and two, I feel like it's kind of similar to what they did with the Mario Direct. Because that was celebrating a anniversary, and this was the same thing. At the start of this presentation, there was a long video of just the history of Pokemon of the last 25 years, and I felt like that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to make it its own presentation, because it was the big thing. 25 years, quarter of a century old.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah. Because so are we.
Did you guys watch it live?
Kind of.
Because, man, there were some stream problems. I don't know if you guys were having it.
I thought that was me.
No, it was I thought it was just me, too. And, yeah, it was like stopping. The sound was cutting out at the end of the video. It stopped, like, 4 minutes early and then cut back in and then cut out again. I was like, what is going on? I thought it was my Switch, so I swapped it to my PS4. And that also didn't work. And I'm like, what is going on? Is it my internet? And then I look up later and everyone was just like... yeah, that great stuff in there, but the video did not work out very well.
Yeah.
Because they were doing it as, what is it, the YouTube premiere thing? Instead of just posting the video when it goes live or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, word to the wise, don't ever do that again, because video performance live was pretty poor.
But that's how Nintendo Directs always are, and I've never had an issue watching those. And that's how State of Plays are, too. That's how all these things are, so you can't scrub to the end and see what's announced before.
Don't know what they screwed up with here, because it was a mess for pretty much everybody that I've seen.
Yeah. But it was a good presentation. Looking forward to... I'm more excited for Legends just to see what that turns into. Not necessarily more excited to pick it up, but just to follow that game's story over the next year until it comes out. I'm not having huge expectations because Pokemon's not known for being the most ambitious, but it looks like they're trying with this one. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that one does turn out.
Do you guys know who you're starting with out of those three random picks?
I like all of them.
I just don't like Oshawa.
Cyndaquil and Rowlet. I don't like Oshawa either.
Like, Oshawa was my starter in Gen 5, I believe. I didn't really... Because we had the other firefighting type, and I was so fatigued on that.
It was Tepig, right? Yeah.
Where I was just like, there's no way that I was using another firefighting. That was the third straight gen. I was like, I'm sick of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was...
Snivy.
Still... I did not like Snivy at all.
I like Snivy. He's
Snivy. Cute. Snivy, whatever. Snivy. So Oshawa was my favorite out of those. Mm-hmm. But like, I liked Cyndaquil a lot. Cyndaquil and Totodile from Gen 2 were my picks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rowlet was my pick for the last gen that I played. Sun and Moon.
Did you finish Sun or Moon?
I have to go Rowlet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I finished it. I put it down for like a year and then went back and finished it. Like,
that's
okay,
what I did. Cool. I put it down for like 3 years. I put it down for a very long time.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I finished it. Mm-hmm. Did not leave much of an impression on me. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you too much of what happened in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the starter picks that they made were pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty random though. Just, like, how do they not capitalize on everyone's Kanto nostalgia and, like, throw Bulbasaur in there or something? Like, I thought they would have done something like that. But they didn't.
My logic behind it, and I only got this for 2 out of 3, is because Oshawott turns into a samurai and Rowlet turns into an archer. Don't know why they chose Cyndaquil.
Interesting.
Explosion. Fire.
It's like,
yeah.
Just like traditional Japanese, you know, fighters. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is for some, like, of them. Obviously, there's a big nostalgia for Generation 1, but I feel like we're going to have to start figuring out soon that people got nostalgia for a lot of the gens, mm-hmm. not necessarily just Gen 1. People have a ton of nostalgia for Gen 2. We were just talking about how much nostalgia we have for Gen 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like Mario recently with how they're like, hey, the 3D Mario games also have a sense of nostalgia to them for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more nostalgia catered to a wider portion of Pokemon audiences because they've got a lot of gens to pick from that people are nostalgic.
Or towards. Even Pokemon Snap is capitalizing on nostalgia from a different underutilized brand in the series. So, yeah, they're definitely branching out with it. But I'm probably going to go with Cyndaquil. I love Rowlet. I think it's cute. But Cyndaquil was my heart gold guy, so I'm probably going to stick with that.
So, who are you guys' starters for Gen 4?
Piplup all the way.
Piplup. Okay.
Yep. Turtwig.
Okay, good. Turtwig. Turtwig's my boy.
I
don't
remember his name. I
love Turtwig.
I auto to Torterra.
I love Torterra, though. Torterra's cool. Piplup was my original pick, and then I'm like, I really don't like Empoleon. So.
I do like Empoleon. I like Penguins. I
swapped to Turtwig.
So, yeah, I think that...
Penguins are cool.
I think Piplup's the only water starter I've ever picked. I don't think I've ever picked on my first run through. Like when I think of my original starters.
Dope. Yeah. No, Mudkip. Mudkip is 110% my starter from Generation
3. Treecko. Treecko's my favorite Pokemon of all time. I love Treecko.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Mudkip's the boy, though.
I always like second evolutions the most.
What?
I always love second evolutions in the starters. Like, I think there's so many cool...
They're always so awkward.
Yeah, they are.
I think there's a lot of really cool second evolutions. Like, I think Grovyle is really, really cool.
Combusken, like, ew.
Combusken just looks like Blaziken, just not as good.
Yeah, I think
Mudkip was the same way. Marshtomp looks weird.
Yeah, but Grovyle's cool. Cooler than Sceptile. Well, I always thought Sceptile kind of looked like a grandma. Sceptile.
That makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah.
We'll have to do a Pokemon starter tier ranking sometime in the future.
Well, we should do that at the... We should talk about starters in our O2 at the end of the show.
Well, okay.
Let's do it.
I want to do it. I want to talk about what starters we picked, but we should keep going on through the news. We can circle back later.
We do have a little bit more, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Rolled out, just want to mention, it's the Monkey Ball. Big news. It's huge news. Rolled out, Monkey Ball spiritual successor. Fans are making their own Monkey Ball. I was supposed to get it last year, and it was nowhere to be seen. Or was I supposed to get it in 2019? I don't even freaking remember at this
point. When did you back it?
I backed it in August or September of 2018. I'm like 2.5 years.
Been a while. Been a while.
And it is finally launching in early access on Steam this month. I believe it's March 23rd. And I'm very excited. I have a USB GameCube controller because GameCube controller is the only way to play Monkey Ball. Got to have those ridges on the stick so you can go straight forward to go on the angles exactly as you need to. And I'm so excited. But that's it. Just had to throw that out there.
Cool.
Yep. And then...
I mean, some of the levels that he's been posting look insane.
They look difficult.
I could never...
Yeah,
I can imagine crazy. You could with a lot of practice, Logan, but I don't think I could ever.
I'm very excited. I've been craving some Monkey Ball. I've been playing this mediocre marble game on my Switch that I haven't talked about on the show. I think it's called Marble It Up. It's not very good. It does not scratch the Monkey
Ball
itch.
Marble Plus Ultra? It was like an Xbox 360 arcade marble game that got pulled off of the store shelves a long time ago. We need to bring that back.
Nothing's as good as Monkey Ball in the genre. It's just, it's king. Yeah.
Not even Monkey Ball is as good as Monkey Ball.
It's not. It's not nearly as good as Monkey Ball. Yeah. Anyways, the big news is that there's a new Nintendo Switch rumor. This one comes from Bloomberg, so it's not just all these unreputable sites covering this. It's a legit business site covering this, saying that a new Nintendo Switch model is going to enter production this summer. No word on release date, if that means for this fall or maybe sometime next spring. With 4K output when docked, a bigger screen increasing from 6.2 inches to 7 inches, an OLED screen that is at 720p resolution, and better battery life. Oh, you have a note here that says it will release by this holiday.
Just that because it was entering production in the summer, that odds are it was going to be ready to go by holiday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that, obviously none of this has been confirmed, neither has that been, but that's the assumption that if it enters production, then it would be ready to go by a holiday.
And for starters, I saw a few mock-ups of what a 7-inch screen would look like, and it would basically be almost the entire size of your current Switch. The Switch has really thick bezels around it right now.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of expanding that to have really thin parts of that front face that's not actually the screen, which to me says all your Joy-Con are going to work on this thing. You don't have to invest in new ones, which they had to. I think they were kind of stuck with that, or it would have been ridiculous. So that's the rumor. This seems like the most realistic one we've had of a upgraded Switch model. Kev, what do you think of the specs that we've heard?
Looks good. This is about as good as we could expect. No one was expecting this thing to do 4K handheld or anything. And I don't necessarily think you need 1080p on the handheld side, because the screen is small enough where I think you can get away with 720p as long as it looks crisp. And it really does. I haven't had too many issues with the 720p screen that's already there. It's more so... in terms of handheld, it's not the resolution that gets me for a lot of these, it's performance. Mm-hmm. So if it can perform a lot better in handheld and also have the ability to output somehow, some way to 4K on docked, I think that's perfect. Having a bigger screen and better battery life is just extra on top of that. I think that where we're at in the Switch's life 4 years in, it's time for something like this. You know, we're entering the second half of the console's life, so I think it's the perfect time for a console revision like this, especially with big games coming out pretty soon, most notably Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, and you're not going to see any other new hardware this year. You're not going to see a PS5 or an Xbox Series X squared. You're not going to see any new revisions of those for a couple of years. PSVR is not coming out this year, so if Nintendo launches this holiday, they'll be the new thing to get in the video game market. Of course, a lot of people will be picking up PS5 bundles or Xbox bundles.
Hopefully they'll be more available.
Yeah, for sure. But I think by that point, I mean, we're talking 8 months away. I like to think that more of the hardcore base will be able to pick that up before then. So if this thing does come out in November, it'll be the conversation, the big new holiday item. So yeah, this is the year, I think, because 2022, you could see PSVR 2. 2023, you could see revisions to a PS5 Slim and a slimmer Xbox. So this feels like the time to strike for the Switch to me.
And it's like every year that goes by, the closer and closer we're getting to whatever comes next. Not necessarily a revision to the Switch, but a Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like now is the right time for something like this.
Absolutely. Coming up on 5 years when it comes out will be, I think, very solid amount of time into the console generation. I feel like this is the flagship. Give us a little more power before the next one comes out. I think, you know, everyone's waited long enough to where they'll probably pick it up.
Yeah, and this is kind of what I thought it was going to be based on this. It's not a PS5 level power Switch. It was never going to be.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. It was, all you have to do is look at the revisions they've done in the past. The new 3DS got a little more oomph. It's got better battery life. That's what this looks like. It's
bigger screen. That's what Nintendo does. Bigger screen.
Yeah, and so this looks like
what they're good at.
Less than a step of PS4 to PS4 Pro. The 4K stuff is a big deal. I'm really curious to see how that would pan out. And then 720p, I agree with you, Kev. That's fine in handheld. 1080p would really suck away the battery life to have to power that much higher of a resolution screen. So I think 720 is fine. I think that this is at a great point where you're not going to split the fan base of the 80 million people that have a Switch. It's still going to be playable. It's still going to run Breath of the Wild 2, but if you want that premier top shelf experience on Nintendo, then you'll want to upgrade to this thing, and I think probably 20 million people will. I will, for sure, and I think that most of the hardcore Nintendo fans, everyone that bought a Wii U will upgrade to this Switch, because that's the Nintendo legion that just buys whatever console they release, so there's 15 million of these sold, which alone is probably worth it.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people, especially with Breath of the Wild 2 coming out. It's like, hey, you want to play this in whatever version of 4K they get it running in. Well, you know, obviously upscaled in some way, but hey, you want to see Breath of the Wild 2 in 4K? I'm sure that there's several million people that just want that.
Mm-hmm. And then the OLED screen in handheld mode is nice too. That will look bright and crisp. Like the Vita screen is still gorgeous, and that machine is 10 years old. So I think that's a big upgrade to the current Switch display. So yeah, I was very happy with this news. I saw a lot of people disappointed in 720p and handheld, but I think that we always knew that on the TV was where you were going to get the upgraded experience if Nintendo did revise the Switch. So that just makes sense. And yeah, I don't know if Breath of the Wild 2 is coming this year. It still might, but to pair Breath of the Wild 2 with the upgraded console, just like they launched the Switch with the original, that'd just be a perfect move. And come on, give me a nice Zelda Special Edition, and I'll buy that thing day one.
And even if they can't hit it to where they launch day and date like Breath of the Wild and the Switch did, you could still make a big impact by releasing this thing and also having a release date for Breath of the Wild 2 and knowing that that's going to be coming out soon. And that would also give people more time to pick one up if they're hard to come by. Like, hey, comes out in November and early 2022, they give a month, Breath of the Wild 2 is out. Boom. That's big. Gives people time to prepare for the new console and get ready for the thing's launch.
And Pokemon Legends could be a February game or an April game. And Splatoon 2 could be a summer game, and boom, that's an incredible launch window lineup for a new Switch revision. Those three games are huge hitters. I mean, those are three of the four of Nintendo's best-selling franchises, along with, well, I guess, yeah, it's on the short list, along with Mario, Mario Kart, Smash Bros. Like, Pokemon, Splatoon, and Zelda are three of their best sellers. So that would be a huge lineup to kick off 2022 with a new Switch. And yeah, I'm all on board for it. I do wonder what it'll be called. If it's called New Nintendo Switch, I will throw up, and I think that the internet will collectively throw up.
I'm going to get new Pokemon XL. Snap for my new Nintendo Switch.
Man.
Not old Pokemon Snap for my old Nintendo Switch.
No.
But any predictions on price? Is this going to... 300. Do you guys think it's going to drop the price? Okay.
I think 300 is going to be consistent.
And then, what, 250 for base? And
I think base goes away.
$200 still?
I think base goes away.
They're going to stop production?
Mm-hmm. I think that this is going to phase out the old Switch. I think that this, which means they might call it the new Nintendo Switch, because that's what happened with 3DS. To me, this feels so much like the new Nintendo 3DS. And it did phase out the original. Eventually on shelves, all you had was the new Nintendo 3DS and the 2DS. You had a cheap option and the luxury one. Switch Lite will stick around, and this revision will phase out the model we all have. I think that's what's going to happen. Mm. I think that they're going to sell through all these Mario Kart bundles, and I wouldn't be surprised if shortly after that you don't see the normal Switch on store shelves. I think this is going to be the Switch. I think it's going to be $300 with no game bundled in.
I guess it's not as big of a jump up as, say, like the Series X from the original Xbox or, or PS4 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Or Xbox One X, sorry, not Series X. Jeez, stupid. Xbox One X. But that was a pretty big jump in power from the original Xbox One and even the slim version of that. So it makes sense that they wanted to keep both of those on at the same time. I guess at that point, too, you also had three SKUs.
Yeah, they phased out the original. And for Xbox. They phased out the original PS4 and the original VCR Xbox One, and you had the Slim and the Pro, and you're going to have the Lite and the New for the Switch. Yeah. If it's called New Nintendo Switch, man.
What if they come up with something even stupider?
Like what? Switch U?
I don't...
Oh my god.
Switch Wii. Yeah.
The thing I've seen people float around Wii is Switch. Super Switch, which, yeah, that would be cool. That'd be cool, for that. Yeah.
Getting back to the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but...
Yeah, I'd be down for something like that. But something tells me it's not going to be that simple. It's going to be something weird, or it's going to be something dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, precedent is set in that's probably what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to be as slim, because they're not going to make it thinner. Like, it's not going to be a significantly thinner device. The Switch is pretty thin already for what it is. So... Yeah, I don't know. And I don't think you just want to stick to calling it the Nintendo Switch, because they already upgraded the Switch, right, with a better battery life. And the new box that was red instead of white. Like, that's a new version. But they didn't change the name because that's the same system. But you don't want to do that when you have something that could be called that can be in 4K and has a bigger screen. And
This is a much bigger upgrade than that other one was. Wasn't the other one basically just a new processor that helped out the battery life? Mm-hmm. That was the big thing in that. So that's basically the same thing, just slightly better battery life. This is a much bigger revision.
Another thing I hope we didn't mention is I hope that that old docks still work, because I Joy-Cons are going to have to work. I was just thinking
about that.
I would assume that it's going to be the same dock. I think that they're
going to have an option where you can just buy the console without the dock?
So your prediction was that the screen is just going to fill out, the actual active screen is going to fill out more of that tablet that we already have.
Yeah.
They get rid of the border.
Then I'd be worried about my dock, because the way it is now with how it's set up, the plastic on the inside still kind of scratches the Switch a little bit, but it puts a little bit onto that bezel, so it doesn't matter. But if I put this new Switch in where that's the actual screen, I feel like there's a chance it could scratch the active screen using the older docks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have had the same issue as mine. Like, it's not noticeable, but I think that's because the screen isn't actually active on that part.
I can't imagine how it looks exactly. I feel like the screen is a little bit active because it has, like, those ridges, right? I feel like the screen doesn't overlap with those at all.
Not really. It's close, but I feel like most of the scuffs that I see are on that non-active sides on the left and right. if you're watching the video version of the podcast, it's on the right and left sides, those black bars. See a little bit of scratching from the dock.
Do you have your dock within arm's reach, Zach?
Yeah.
Grab it. I want to show it to the camera. Sorry to our audio listeners. Come hop on YouTube. Ode to Games. But I know a lot of people have multiple docks in their homes. So, that's tough to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, it's on the front side, I believe. Uh-huh. There are these two, like, protruding plastic things.
Yeah. Okay. So, that doesn't overlap.
Right,
that's
those,
a good point.
You can see them. The little bit of ridges on the sides.
Yeah. That's a good point. Well, what else? Do you think they would just make the Switch wider? Like,
I don't know. At the very least, I hope that the new Switch would come with a better built dock where that's not even an issue with either one. That's just slight, slightly higher build quality.
Yeah.
But in terms of using your old dock, maybe would they make it not a concern if you're just buying the new Switch and it just comes bundled with a dock anyway, so you don't have to worry about it? Mm-hmm. That would probably be the other way around that.
Yeah, they sold docks separately. And now they releasing did. a new Switch, and it's like, oh, sorry, the two docks you have in your house don't work with this. Buy this new dock for $90. That would suck. It's not as egregious as if your Joy-Con didn't work. The Joy-Con have to, and I would bet a lot of money will work on the new thing attached to them, not just like Kinect. Because if in some world they didn't attach to the sides of the system anymore, there's no reason they wouldn't still be able to connect wirelessly to be used as controllers. But
still just be like really confusing too. Like, oh, which one of my Joy-Cons works with this one and which one doesn't?
Yeah.
How different could they really look?
Because I know for me, I have two docks. I have the dock I got with my Switch on launch, and then I have the Smash Brothers Ultimate dock, which I love and is the primary one I use. And when I would upgrade to this Switch, I would trade in my old one. It's starting to get beat up. If I get a new one, I don't really have a reason to keep that one anymore, and I would have to trade in a dock with it probably. But I want to keep that Smash Brothers dock, and I wouldn't want that to just become a useless piece of plastic that I couldn't do anything with. But you raise a good point with those with that screen, because that would cause an issue.
Yeah, so maybe I guess there's a couple options. They could force you to buy a new one. They could be like, it's compatible, but use at your own risk. I can't see them doing that very much, because I feel like there's a lot of people that wouldn't know about it and then get really mad if things scratch.
Yeah.
Or they could make the thing actually longer so that there is still the... But even... They couldn't make it longer, because if it's bigger, the inside of the...
It wouldn't matter. The screen would still touch it.
Because it would just be making the Switch bigger and the dock would still be the same size. I feel like you're just going to have to make a new dock. I feel like that's the only option, because the way it is now, it would probably scratch the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. But that is rough for the people, because it's probably the most hardcore of fans who would be upgrading that also have multiple docks, like myself. Right, yeah,
special editions and...
Yeah.
Things for other parts of the house.
I think that might just be a rough part of the transition, but if the Joy-Con don't work, I'll be baffled, because there's so many types of Joy-Con they try to get people to buy, and I'd be just shocked if they didn't work.
See, the dock, it's not as many people have multiple docks, and if it comes bundled, then that's fine, but I think it'd be way more confusing with the controllers of trying to figure out which one's compatible and which one's not. I think that'd be an absolute mess. Yeah. Hopefully, at that time, though, they come out with Joy-Cons that are more reliable.
Yeah, if they release, like, new Joy-Con along with the new Switch. Yeah.
That are just, like, the exact same but better internals, you know? Where it's, like, they're the same size and they still connect to everything, but they're just better.
I just had another kind of wild idea. What if this new Switch doesn't have detachable controllers? So it's just controller. It's like the Switch Lite, but it docks, and you can use any controllers that you have to play it when it's in TV mode. Because that would probably cut down on costs.
Hate that.
I wouldn't. In some world, I could see them do that, but I don't know. Like, there's still a number of games that would be a lot more annoying with that whole setup. I feel like that's a feature that would stick with the Switch Lite, but man, I guess you never know.
Yeah.
That would make me think a little bit harder about swapping these things out. I hope they're still detachable somehow. And then you just run into like that whole question of like, and there's always the concern if they're non-detachable of like, and how long are these things going to last before I have to send in my whole console to get the things repaired?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But a lot
of questions.
Yeah. I'm excited. This feels real.
A rumor.
This feels more real. This is from Bloomberg. It's not, oh, some guy on Reset Era said that we're getting a new Switch this year.
And I feel like a lot of the other ones are just from, like, business analysts who are just like, oh, it makes sense. They'd make more money. Like, look, if they released a new console right now, people would buy them, and they would sell a lot of them. But I feel like this one, there's a lot more substantial things behind this in terms of the details with screen size, the screen type, 4K, and the timing makes a lot of sense.
And it's all believable. It's not like it's going to run P PS5 games. Like, no, it's like, this is a very reasonable upgrade that I can see Nintendo doing. It seems like a smart move. But we'll move on from that to talk about our current Switches. It is the 4-year anniversary of the Nintendo Switch just a couple of days ago. Launched on March 3rd, 2017, alongside 1-2 Switch, one of the greatest launch titles. No, alongside Breath of the Wild.
People still playing that.
And a was Snipperclips also out? Snipperclips was out. People Super like Bomberman R was out. Snake Pass was out, which I heard was a solid launch title. But yeah, there were a number of things, but really it was Breath of the Wild, and then Snipperclips was a nice kind of side thing that people played at launch as well. So I wanted to ask you guys, what's your memory of leading up to getting your Switch and then finally getting one?
Do we want to, one who got their Switch the most recent? Zach, you want to start?
Okay, yes, right. Most recent being nearly 3 years ago.
It's been a while. Time has just flown by.
Yeah. Oh, it was the summer of 2018. I was gearing up for my study abroad trip in college to go to Korea. Logan had been hounding me about getting a Nintendo Switch for a while, I believe. And I finally broke down. We drove to Walmart together, bought a Switch. I have a picture of me with the Switch and Logan. We took like a selfie with the Switch to commemorate the moment.
I thought you had it at GameStop.
And then, did we get it at GameStop?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I don't remember. We got it somewhere. Yeah.
Moscow GameStop. Like
3 years ago. Mm-hmm. We got the Switch somewhere. I have the picture of the Switch, but we took the picture in my apartment. So it was, and then after that, I had one game and I took it to Korea with me. And then I had the chance to play with you guys while I was in Korea. So thank goodness for the portableness of the Switch. Yeah. Definitely what I needed at the time. Wasn't able to take a PlayStation with me, so it was very good timing for when I picked it up. I had been out for a year, which is usually the amount of time it takes for me to actually get a console after it comes out. So it made a lot of sense. Absolutely love the purchase. Don't regret it. Staring at that Switch right now. Could use a Pro. Sure, why not? It's been a while, but I love this Switch. I love it a lot. Phenomenal console.
Yeah, it's becoming one of my favorites of all time, for sure.
It's great. Yeah. It really is.
As for me, I got it the summer that it came out. So that was summer of 2017. And I was in Florida at the time. I was doing an internship down there. So I picked it up at a Best Buy. I don't remember what the impetus was for me picking it up. I know that Logan is always like hounding Zach to get stuff. We're always hounding Zach to get things. But I don't remember what.
I wanted to play Splatoon with you. I was like, hey, man, we should play Splatoon. It comes out like next week. Okay. And you pulled the trigger.
It was. Okay. Yeah. So I went and picked it up at a Best Buy. There was like a line at Best Buy, but no problems getting mine. I don't even think I don't remember if I reserved one or not. I think I just went there when they first opened for the day and picked one up and was one of like the first like 10 or 15 people in there. I got three games with it. I got Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and Splatoon 2. Solid trio of titles right there.
God, that's 4 months after the system's out, you could pick up those three games.
Yeah.
The Switch's first year is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, crazy. Taking it back, playing Splatoon with Logan, playing Breath of the Wild. And because I never had a Wii U, it was one of my first experiences playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. That was an entirely new game for me. So lots of good memories in the early days playing that. And Zach's point of the portability coming in handy pretty quickly. It also came in handy for me because I went to Japan a little while after getting it, and I didn't even bring the dock. All I did was I brought the Switch, games, and then just the power pack. And it was great. Like, I didn't need to have a TV set up for it. I didn't need to bring the dock. I just had to bring the power supply, my games, and the Switch tablet itself. And it's been great.
Yeah,
love I love the portability of it and love the games that are on it.
I have very fond memories of playing like Salmon Run with you or just Turf Wars before we would both have to go to the ballpark to do our games because that was the only summer we both did baseball. And yeah, that's honestly what I remember most about that summer was playing Splatoon with you in the mornings, because we played a lot. We played a good amount that summer.
And then I never played it after that. But yeah, that summer that I played it was great.
Yeah, it's a great game. And just Salmon Run was a fresh mode at the time, not a part of the first game. And that was just a ton of fun. The shark that pops out of the ink, I remember always being really terrifying in that yeah. mode, killing us. Yeah, good times with that game. I got my Switch on launch day on March 3rd. I had just trudged through the Wii U era. You guys did not. You guys did not trudge through that era. And
like, I remember thinking back to those times, and I wasn't even like on the PS4, Xbox One train. I was still rolling with my 360, but I knew that the PS4 and the Xbox One were around. Gonna be honest, Nintendo was just like a nothing entity for those years if it wasn't 3DS. Like, I had no concept of what they were doing on their consoles. Uh-huh. Like, they were just gone.
Yeah.
For me personally.
Yeah, and I, the light at the end of the tunnel. So this anniversary is also Breath of the Wild's anniversary, so I've been really nostalgic for that game lately. The light at the end of the tunnel of the Wii U era was Zelda Wii U, is what we called it for years. Just looking forward to this game that was promising to be the next step for Zelda and a reinvention of the series, and it was just so mysterious for so long. And then the NX, if you guys remember, was the code name.
I do remember that.
For the Switch. And just the NX. And then when Nintendo announced, oh, we're delaying Zelda Wii U and it's coming to NX and it's coming in 2017. I was like, man, it's not even going to be remembered as a Wii U title. Which in hindsight is great because it sold like 25 million copies worldwide. Yeah. Which is more than Wii U's exist. But just waiting, I pre-ordered the thing the night it went up, and then just waiting for like 2 months from January to March for it to arrive, and then I was living in the dorm, so I had to deal with like picking up packages from the front desk, and I was worried, like, what if it's not there? What if they mess up and deliver it to the wrong dorm? And I remember getting the text when I was in jazz band on that Friday, and it was like, you have two packages to pick up. And I was like, God, it's Zelda and my freaking Switch. And I had another lecture to sit through that in hindsight, I'm like, why didn't I skip that? I learned nothing that day. I was sitting there thinking about Zelda the entire time, and ran back to my dorm, picked it up and unboxed it. And yeah, I was like, man, I have the NX. This is it. The Wii U era is over. And Zelda's here, and it was just one of the most hype gaming day, the second most hype gaming day of my life, only passed by Smash Brothers a year and a half later on Switch. But yeah, just unbelievable. I love my Switch. So many great games on it, and there's a lot still in the pipeline to come.
Yeah. Speaking of good memories of the Switch, I also have very good memories of watching that reveal. Presentation that they had. I watched that with Logan. I don't think Zach was there.
Me and you and my roommate Jacob.
Really good memories watching that, looking back on that. Lots of good games showing off. Shin Megami Tensei still not out.
Oh man.
but lots of good memories watching that presentation.
Yeah, they showed off a ton there. They showed off Mario Kart with the battle mode and the Inklings. Yep. They showed
Xenoblade 2.
Oh yeah, Splatoon 2, which we thought was just going to be a port. Project Octopath Traveler made an appearance.
That was in there? I forgot that was in there.
1-2 Switch was in there. Ooh. ARMS, the first reveal of ARMS was in there. That was a jam-packed presentation. And then of course, and Super Mario Odyssey was revealed in there. Yeah, that is one of the single best presentations ever that I can recall. Like, so many bangers were announced in that presentation, and it ended with the...
I wasn't even there for it.
You weren't.
Sorry, Zach.
It ended with the...
Didn't even watch it.
Final trailer for Breath of the Wild, which is one of the best game trailers I have ever seen. It is just amazing, and then it ends, and it announces the date, March 3rd, 2017, and yeah, that was really exciting watching that on my tiny TV in my dorm room freshman year.
I just remember crowding around watching that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was lots amazing. Of good memories. And I really can't believe that the thing's been out for 4 years and I've owned mine for 3.5.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
And Zach and I, our friendship continued via Breath of the Wild. He came and watched me play most of that game. In the dorm lounge on the huge TV they had down there. And I didn't let him play because I'm like, I've been excited for this for too long to not just play it through myself. But he was a great wingman. He watched me play that game.
Did not care.
And yeah, we have some good times playing that. Kevin and I played Bayonetta, which has one of my most frustrating. Oh my god,
dude. You banging your head against that boss fight because we. Let's be real here. We do not know how to play that game whatsoever. No. We were just barreling through the thing, not really learning combos, and then we just get stomped.
Yeah, it was brutal. Fight. It was one of the not even the final boss, and you were graduating. We only had a little bit of time to finish that thing.
Before just like, we got to get this thing.
We went
done.
Home for summer, and I was playing on the TV docked, and I couldn't do it. And I remember, like, you could also touch the touch screen to like ramp up her witch time combo. So I removed it from the dock, and I was like, "Go!" You were watching the Mariners game because I was just sitting here dying against this boss. Oh my gosh! Yeah,
good times. Yeah, picking up Mario Odyssey at Walmart
at midnight,
having to fight through legions of people to get that. The whole one other guy that was there to pick it up, and the guy at the counter who was just like, "You to pick up Mario Kart?
Yeah, you want the Mario Kart like, 8 Deluxe?
Mario Odyssey. Like, yeah. Mario Kart? Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of good memories of the Switch. Both now playing it by myself, and a lot of memories with you guys of playing games or going to pick things up or. A lot of good memories.
I remember playing Golf Story and being like, "Yo, Kevin, you need to play this game."
I remember you telling me, like, "All right, I'll get to it when I get my Switch." I think that was what it was.
Uh-huh.
I was like, "Boom, got my Switch, picked it up." I'm like, "Oh my god, this game's great!"
Yeah. I pester both of you about playing stuff. It's just I know that Kevin's a harder man to persuade than Zach. But hey,
Zach is very easily persuaded.
You eventually got around to Ace Attorney on Switch, which is another one I was telling you for years to play, and you knew you wanted to play too. I gotta get to Yakuza. Oh, by the way, Kev, Zach bought 3D All-Stars. I don't know if he told you, but he picked it up.
Did. Thank God. You were starting to run out of time. We're already into March, the month that Mario dies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you finally picked it up. They had some copies.
Time
where'd you pick it up at?
Year. I ordered it on Amazon.
Okay.
I was lazy.
Hey, whatever works to get this thing before it disappears, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seriously. But 50 bucks, not that bad.
Oh, yeah. You got the 10 bucks off?
Thing nice. Was pretty consistently $50 on Amazon. And it was $50 at Walmart, $60 at GameStop. Almost. GameStop. I was like, I was in the area of GameStop. I was like, gonna buy it. I was like, I don't want to pay the extra $10, so I just ordered it off Amazon and went home.
Fair play. Mm-hmm. I probably would have done the same thing.
But it has been a phenomenal 4 years for the Switch. There are some frustrations with it, for sure. The online isn't great. The virtual console is not there. Some of the ports have not been worth the price they've charged. But overall, you look at the first-party lineup of both the Wii U ports and original content. By the end of this thing, I think there's no doubt this is going to be the best library Nintendo's ever had. On a console. It has the best Smash Brothers, the best Mario Kart, the most ambitious and most would say best Zelda game, and so many other
same thing. Animal Crossing's there.
Mm-hmm.
You could say the same thing about Mario.
Animal Crossing game.
Yeah, the best Mario. Forgot to mention that. The best Mario, the most ambitious Fire Emblem, like so many fantastic first party games.
A million indie titles.
Thing.
It's the place to play indie video games.
Yeah, it's the perfect console to play indie games. I see indie games that are like that I see on sale on PlayStation. I'm like, all right, make a mental note of that, and I'll pick them up on Switch when they're on sale.
Yeah.
Like all of my indies, if it's not on PC because that's the only place they're on, I'm getting it on Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I'm just excited to see what Nintendo has left in store. I feel like they were hit pretty hard development wise by the pandemic, and also I wouldn't be surprised if I remember their output on Wii U was really slow at the start because it was their first time developing in HD. Now they're developing for 4K, presumably, with this rumor, so I wouldn't be surprised if that might be why you've seen a slower trickle of first-party games as well. But 2022, 2021, and beyond could bring some really cool stuff. I mean, we know Breath of the Wild's still coming, which is going to be huge, and presumably Metroid and Bayonetta and ton of stuff. Is still going to be in the pipeline. So Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the next 4 years of Switch, because I think it's just going to keep going strong. I don't think it's going to peter off and get exhausted like the Wii felt at this point in its life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, on the Wii, if we're talking about like extra power, that it never really got it either.
No.
Like, the Wii was underpowered throughout its entire life.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Console revisions that they did made that console worse.
Removing GameCube, removing internet.
Yeah. All right, what are we going to do to sell more of these consoles? Let's remove features that people like. Right? We did get Wii Motion Plus, but...
You got a little box to make it more accurate.
Yeah, and then they just put them into the Wii remotes, but I was so off of the Wii train that I never, ever had one of those. I just had the little squares to put on the bottom.
Yeah, but we got on...
I think this will be a completely different situation.
We got on for a very long time about the Switch. It deserves it, though. It's a fantastic machine. We should probably rush through what we've been playing next.
Yeah. Zach, want to send it in?
Oh, moving on into what we've been playing, we'll brush through it because we want to get to our Pokemon starters over the generations. Yes, but for me personally, last week I promised to beat a game, because I apparently do that every podcast now. I promised to beat games, and I did beat a game. I beat one yesterday. It was a very short game, and it's going to be a surprise because I've never mentioned this, but it's a game called Mad Father. It's an indie game that got remade for the Switch back in November. So back in the early, this is backstory for even though we're rushing through this, there were a bunch of RPG Maker horror games that came out in the early 2010s. They were very big on YouTube, and me and my friend group were big on all of them at the time. Mad Father was one of them. I played it back then. Found out recently that it got remade for the Switch. Very surprising for a game that came out like 9 years ago. And it had like, it was a Japanese RPG Maker horror game. They got like fan translated into English, and that was like the popular translation that everyone played. So I think that translation got ported to the Switch or remade because they updated all the sprites. It looks a lot better. It added a bunch of content, a separate playthrough, a new story, like two new playthroughs, with new story included, different playable characters, a bunch of stuff got added. I thought that was really weird because I kind of forgot about this game. So it was really nice to see because it's a very nostalgic era of gaming for me. So to be able to play this game, super fun. I played it with a couple friends. They watched me go through it because they were also fans of the RPG horror genre. It's just a really good time and really surprising. And I hope they bring back more of those types of games in the future. I know To the Moon was also a part of that era. One of the ones that wasn't horror. Yeah, RPG Maker, early 2010s. So just a really a nostalgic era from high school. Love it a lot. So that was a fun thing to find. Only $8. Played it for like 5 hours. Was able to roll the credits on it 3 times.
Nice.
One of those things where like kind of wonder a little bit what the impetus was for bringing those back. Like To the Moon and those games, like... I feel like those have a pretty like big pretty large following. Most
popular out of
but,
all
but
of
a game like that, I wonder why they decided to bring it back.
Yeah, and to remake it and add all this new content, especially so, it was very weird to see, because it is not the most polished game story wise or content.
Well,
so.
I mean, RPG Maker games, you never know with those. It's a little bit of a crapshoot sometimes, but
fun and nostalgic nonetheless. And the puzzles are actually pretty cool. So. If you're a fan of the genre or if you played it a long time ago, definitely check it out because it's on sale right now for like $7.
Cool.
Nice.
But that is all I've been playing. I had a bit of a slow week, but I did what I promised. I beat a game. But moving on, we'll talk about Kevin. What have you been playing?
More Mario 3D World. Been playing some with a group of friends a little bit and then playing more on my own. Still having a good time. Thoughts are... pretty much the same. I'm still waiting to all play together. That should be
next week.
Should be next weekend, next so that week. We won't.
Yep. So two we'll episodes talk about
that
from
on
now.
Next week's show. But yeah, the week after that, we'll finally have thoughts from all three of us playing it. But yeah, still having a really good time with that. Don't really want to talk too much about that. And then just more Sakuna, Rise and Ruin. Game is solid. Game is a good time. Just like. Man, I was talking last week about how the rice farming can get quite in depth on how in depth you want it to be. It can be pretty simple where you like plant the rice seeds and then you can talk to one of the people that is living in the house with you and they'll be like, oh, now's the time that you should empty all the water out. This is like the draining process on today because it's set up in like 3 days per season. So there's 3 days in spring, 3 days in summer, fall, and winter. And so it'll just like tell you. ideally like what you should be doing on each of the days. But then you can dive in and be like, what percentage of water do I need to have at this specific time? How much of like a type of fertilizer do I want to have that increases like different stats and things?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can go really far into it. There's like a bunch of stats just based on the rice that is crazy. And it's quite important because that's how you level up Sakuna is through the rice. Mm-hmm. And that also gives you food to get through the days. So that's been fun to figure more about that. Combat's been good. It's introducing more combos that makes it more free flowing. I wish it was a little bit quicker. You have like a tether that you use for both platforming and for combat, which is a really cool idea. You can like tether up to the ceiling and you like lock onto that. You grapple up top and then you can like do some more platforming with that. And you can also grapple onto enemies and either like throw them down with the tether or like swing around them and like attack them from behind. But it's not always accurate. It only goes in 8 directions. So it can either go like up, down, left, right, or in between those. Mm-hmm. So there have been times specifically on platforming where I'm just like trying to do this like jump and it'd be better to have it at a very specific angle to hit it up there, but you can only do it at the certain ones. And so that leads me to be like falling into spikes sometimes, which is a little bit weird. But I really like its use in combat. So I like that you can unlock combat upgrades and abilities, not just for your like regular attacks for your one or two handed weapons, but you can also upgrade it for your tether as well. So that gives it a lot more versatility in combat because you can use it in a bunch of different ways for both like attacking or for like debuffing your enemies. So despite the fact that it can be a little bit weird in platforming, I think that I do like it a lot in combat. Some of the boss fights have been pretty interesting. And I also like just the whole like aspect of cooking because it's very important. Cooking is the way that you can give yourself like healing buffs, like to heal throughout the day and that sort of thing. So it's very important to like gather up a bunch of ingredients and cook things. And it's always fun to like set out your meal. You've got like the drink and the side dish and the main dish and like all these other things. So it's nice to set out your meal for the next day. Not all of it works like really well, but I think overall I've been having a really good time with it.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's been about it. One other thing of note, we talked last week about how Ratchet and Clank was going to be free. And we were wondering, if you have PS Plus, how that's going to work. You can just grab it from PlayStation Store and you don't have to worry about it. It just like overrides the PS Plus and you just own it. So for anyone who is worried about that, that's how that works. I picked that up the other day.
Cool.
Logan, anything from you?
Yes, I have a couple things. I have a new thing to talk about. Pyra and Mithra dropped in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate yesterday, and I got to try them out a little bit. And also, real quick, some news on that. Monster Hunter Mii costumes and a Ghost and Goblins Mii costume are now available in Ultimate, which basically deconfirms the Monster Hunter as one of the final two DLC characters, which has been a very popular rumor floating around, so the final two spots are now wide open for grabs again. But anyways, Pyra and Mithra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2, they have a pretty cool new stage that's like flying through the clouds on the back of, I believe, where like Rex lives at the start of the game or something like that.
Yeah, that's, yeah. It's like a guardian basically, and he does mining off of that. Yeah.
Okay.
I forget his name. Grant. I think he just calls him Gramps.
Okay, yep, that's what they called him in the presentation.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're pretty cool. So Pyra is way slower and hits way harder than Mithra, and she uses a lot of like fire-based attacks, and then Mithra is speedy and has these light-based attacks. It's also cool that Kevin is nodding and saying, yeah, he hasn't played them in Smash, he just knows from Xenoblade, because that's how good Smash Brothers is. Yeah. Anyways, the characters are really cool. I honestly haven't found a lot of great uses for Mithra. I feel like Pyra is the one to stick with, because, I mean, I played a little bit as her against Zack. She hits so hard. I would not be surprised if they tone it down in a future patch because, yeah, I got a knockout on Zach at like 40% Like, it was it was low, and I did a fully charged forward smash attack, and they were just gone. But the stage is really cool. Gramps, like, turns his head left and right, which makes the stage smaller because he can't stand on his head anymore. So, like, sometimes if you're trying to recover to grab back onto, like, his forehead, and he decides to turn his head, you can just miss and die. So it's a pretty cool stage. The music is good, from what I've heard. I've never played Xenoblade 2, but the music...
Xenoblade music is pretty good.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the soundtrack. Yeah, and it's just really cool to have a character that you can swap back and forth between again. We have it with Pokemon Trainer, but they split up Zelda and Sheik in Smash 4 and didn't merge them back together for Ultimate. So it is cool to get that back, just swapping back and forth at will between two characters that do very different things. So yeah, it's a cool addition. I think it's one of my least favorite DLC options, both because I just have no connection to the game and just from a fighting style. They're not as unique as, like, Steve, who is just insane, or Hero, who has the command menu, or Min Min, who has the really extendable arms. They feel more like a base roster character than the kind of wild mechanics that the DLC has been introducing with almost everybody. So it's still good. It's a good addition to the pack, which has been pretty good so far, and looking forward to see who gets the last two slots here later this year. And other than that, last week I talked about I've been in a game rut. I have gotten out of that. I played like 15 hours of Breath of the Wild over the last week. I have been playing it every night for like 1 or 2 hours, so probably closer to 10 hours total. And I finally beat the Champions Ballad DLC, which was the second pack that released in December of 2017. And it was really, really good. I think that when I went to play it the first time, I was just a little bit fatigued because I played so much of that game the year it came out. And taking a really long break and coming back to it and finishing it, it was a pretty good DLC pack. They really make you use the Stasis and the Cryonis and the Magnesis in all these interesting ways that you have to think pretty hard about, and it was just cool getting back into that puzzle mindset. And the final boss, which I was able to stay away from for the last 3.5 years, was probably the best boss in all of Breath of the Wild. It is such a cool fight. It's not another form of Ganon, which is all that you fight in the main game,
yep,
basically, with a few exceptions. But it was a really awesome fight, and then you unlock the motorcycle, and I was just cruising around on that, and I think I'm going to keep doing side quests and shrines now that I have the motorcycle. It's a really fun way to explore Hyrule. So, yeah, getting back into Breath of the Wild has been, weirdly, the game that pulled me out of my funk, which... I just got nostalgic for it when the anniversary approached, and I've been playing it, and yeah, it's brought me back to that original time playing it through 4 years ago now. So that might be what I just kind of mess around in for the next couple weeks, because I'm going to be moving here pretty busy, so I'll probably just pick up and play that whenever I have some spare time.
Sometimes you just need that stalwart, that game that you know you enjoyed before, mm-hmm, and you know you're going to enjoy again.
Yeah,
when nothing new is really hitting right for you.
Yeah, it's real good, and I think I'm just going to keep working on perfecting my current file, because there's so much I never saw that I don't feel the need to start it all over, because there's just a lot still for me to see, both quest-wise and just exploration-wise, that I probably never stumbled upon, because there's just so much in that game.
Yeah, I'm sure there's still a lot to discover.
Yeah.
All right, do we want to run through our starters here? We don't have a ton of time, so I kind of just want to run down the list from Gen 1 to... Sword and Shield, which I have not even played, so okay. I will have no thoughts on that. But
yeah,
just go through the gen and your favorite, and maybe where each of them rank, I guess. Your ranking of the three starters, starting
just
with
their
gen
first
one,
form, or all three forms? Like, are we ranking them as a whole, or just like when all we knew was their first form when we picked?
Say just overall from either the first time that you played it, or if you're thinking, hey, I'm going to go back and play this again, what is the one that you're going to pick?
I think I'll do it from the first time I played it.
All of them.
Yeah.
So Gen 1, of course, we've got Charmander, Squirtle, and Bulbasaur. Logan, I'll start with you. Ranking of those three.
Charmander, Squirtle, Bulbasaur is my ranking. Okay. I like all three a lot. I like Charizard the best. I've never played Gen 1 without picking Charmander, so he's always who I go with.
Zach?
I would rank them Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle. I choose Bulbasaur every time. Gives you the tactical advantage for the first two gyms.
Does. Wow.
I think that was one of my original reasons.
Squirtle also Squirtle does for the first one. I guess, yeah, Bulbasaur does for the first two.
But
and I think he gives you resistance for the third gym. For the electric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for the fourth gym, it's just grass be grass and
everyone's having fun. Yeah, it's a pretty solid start. For me, I'd probably go Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle. I have never played through the game with Squirtle. Bulbasaur is my original pick. Bulbasaur is my favorite Pokemon as a kid. I still have like my old plushie of Bulbasaur. But in terms of like going back now, I pick Charmander 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. And on a whim, I'll pick Bulbasaur. But I've never played through a Squirtle. Mm-hmm. Gen 2, we've got Totodile, Cyndaquil, and Chikorita. Logan.
Cyndaquil, Totodile, Chikorita. I think Chikorita's ugly. I think Totodile's
what
probably...
What about Meganium, though?
No, thanks.
I actually kind of like Bayleaf. I think Bayleaf is solid. I don't really like Meganium or Chikorita.
A second version that's pretty good. Totodile is really cool. And what, Croconaw? Is that his name?
Croconaw and then Feraligatr.
Yeah, I like his evolutions, but I thought Cyndaquil was super cute when I was a kid. So I went with him, and then I like Typhlosion. I mean, it's pretty basic.
Typhlosion's cool.
Yeah. But the Gen 2 ones are kind of just like bigger versions. Like their third version is like just bigger versions of their first one, which isn't the case anymore. There's wild transformations in the starters now. But Cyndaquil.
Mm-hmm. Zach?
For me, currently where it stands is Totodile, Cyndaquil, Chikorita. It's weird because I've played Gen 2 a lot in my life at different points, and I've started with all of them at one point. They were all my favorite at one point. When Heart Gold and Soul Silver ran, I was like Totodile for a long time, and then I really liked Bayleaf in the anime, so I was like a Chikorita fan for a while. But then when Heart Gold and Soul Silver rolled around, I, on a whim, just went with Cyndaquil, and I really got attached to Typhlosion after that. I would still consider Totodile my favorite because just so adorable, and Feraligatr's pretty cool. But I do have a respect for Typhlosion, so that's why I'll give him second place. And then Greta has slowly become more and more ugly to me, even though I still
Yeah, mine is Totodile, Cyndaquil, and Chikorita. Like Squirtle in the first gen, I have never played through the game as Chikorita. It was Totodile at the start when I was playing Pokemon Crystal on my Game Boy. It was always Totodile. And then Heart Gold and Soul Silver, I'll swap between Cyndaquil and Totodile. Also, I like the a little bit of trivia that they ran out of space on Feraligatr's name in the original, so they cut off the last E and just Feraligatr and no E in there. Fixing that in the newer ones, but I always thought that was funny. But yeah, I really like Feraligatr and Typhlosion's design.
I have Feraligatr in Pokemon Coliseum on the GameCube, and he was one of my main characters.
Pokemon Coliseum.
Yeah.
Great game.
Those games.
It's a great game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Gen 3. We've got Mudkip, Treecko, and Torchic.
Treecko, Mudkip, Torchic. Treecko, I said it earlier in the show, is my favorite Pokemon. That's more because of the Mystery Dungeon games. He was my partner in the first Mystery Dungeon. I just got so attached to him through that. But I really liked having him in Sapphire. And then Mudkip, I think, is cool. I think it's like a really unique starter. I just always really liked the look of Mudkip. And then Torchic, not honestly a huge fan of Blaziken. I think Blaziken's pretty overrated. So, yeah, that's my ranking for those ones. Treecko all the way. I think he's so cool.
Zach?
My ranking, it is Treecko at top. Then I'll do Torchic, Mudkip. Not a huge Mudkip guy. I know a lot of people who are big fans of Mudkip. I do like Blaziken. I think he is a little overrated, but I still think he's very cool. I tend to lean grass if I'm not massively a fan of one of the other starters. So I went with Treecko just because grass is my go-to ever since Bulbasaur. And
grass is great in that game when you're sailing around the ocean for half of it. So
exactly. Yeah. That was a very water-focused region. So definitely a good start to go with Treecko. I do think Grovyle is very cool. Sceptile now looks like an old lady to me because you said that. I will never not see that, unfortunately. Uh-huh. But I still think Sceptile is pretty cool. Always a big fan of grass. So that's where I stand on Gen 3, and I haven't even played the remakes yet, so
probably you can stick like to 3D. if your game of choice is Emerald, I just stick to Emerald, man. That is that is the best of all those games. mine is Mudkip, Torchic, Treecko. I don't think I've ever played through the game fully as Treecko. There's always one Pokemon, it seems, that I've never played through the game as. these older ones that I played through a million times. I adore Mudkip. He's like adorable. I've
given everybody a chance.
I've got a plushie of him here. He's super cute. He was in one of, there was a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon anime, and I had like a little DVD of like two episodes of it, and Mudkip was in there or something. I was like, oh, he's so adorable. Don't like Marsh Tomp very much, but I think Swampert is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Torchic hadn't gotten too tired of the firefighting because that was the first one. So I thought Blaziken was pretty cool back in the day. I still think he's fine now. Treecko, he's fine. The thing I remember most about Treecko is that because I picked Mudkip all the time, my rival always had Treecko. Yeah. So there was that one fight, like after the second gym with his Grovyle, that was actually quite difficult. I remember on multiple times that one of those early fights with your rival was actually kind of challenging.
Yeah.
I should go back and play some of these games with the starters I never picked. All right, Gen 4.
I feel like after Gen 4, we're going to get faster because we have a lot less to say about the gens.
Less memories. Yeah. Absolutely.
Gen 4, Turtwig, Chimchar, Piplup.
Piplup's my number one. Love Penguin said, I like Empoleon because I had a steel move, a water move, a grass move, and a ground move. So he was such a versatile guy in my party. Yeah, so I really liked him. And then Turtwig is number two. I think Turtwig's awesome, and Torterra is super cool. Torterra's awesome in the Detective Pikachu movie, by the way. Really cool in there. And then
that was really cool.
And then Chimchar, I don't know. Monkeys are some of my favorite animals, but Chimchar just never really did it for me, and I'm not sure why. But yeah, I was always a Piplup guy. I have a Piplup plush still somewhere around here from way back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Zach.
Ah, so I for the very most part, always went with Turtwig. I did do a Chimchar run at some point, so he'll give him second. So I do Turtwig, Chimchar, Piplup. I never actually did any Piplup runs, which I think this is the first generation where I didn't do a run of everybody at least once.
The decline is beginning.
Sorry, Piplup. Sorry, Piplup.
I look back at some of these older gens, and it's just like, oh, I've played through these so many times, and then I'm gonna get to these later ones. I'm like, this is the one that I picked for my one playthrough.
Yeah.
What's the one after Turtwig?
A Grottle or Grotle. Middle one. I don't know how.
Grotle. Okay, I kept coming back to Grovyle, and I was like, "That's."
I don't know if it's Grottle or Grotle. I think I called it Grottle.
Mm-hmm.
Say Grottle, I would say. But love all three of them. I think they're super cute. Torterra's awesome. Got the little biome on his back, the big tree.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely my favorite. And then Infernape, I think, is a very cool design. Yeah. Don't really like Monferno a lot.
Yeah.
And then Piplup's cute. And Printplup's
ugly. I do not like Printplup very much.
Pretty cool.
Printplup's weird.
That happens. It's a crapshoot with the second evolutions. It's either like, oh, that's pretty cool, or like, man, that is hideous.
Yeah.
My ranking: Turtwig, Piplup, Chimchar. Piplup was the Pokemon that I was the most like, that caught my attention the most when I was in elementary school and looking up all of the information on the game when it first came out. I think Piplup's super adorable. So he was my first playthrough of the game. I picked up Piplup. And I don't know, I just didn't really like Empoleon. Now I look back and I was just like, oh, playing it now, I think that he introduced a lot of weaknesses that he didn't have before. So I don't know. Empoleon was never really my thing. And then later on, I picked up Turtwig later. I think Turtwig is also incredibly cute.
Mm-hmm.
Grottle, not too many thoughts on, but I think Torterra is a super cool design. Yeah. I love the biome on his back and just like seeing that big tree and his like, when you're like fighting as him and you see that in the back, really cool. Chimchar, already starting to get fatigued from the firefightings.
Yeah. Gen 5. I'm having to look up who these guys all evolve into.
I've got a list of them here. So we've got Snivy, Tepig, and Oshawott.
Uh-huh. I was a Snivy guy because I thought he looked like, he was so close to Treecko, right? Just this.
He's pretty similar.
I really don't like Snivy's evolutions. I really dislike the final one, especially the big snake. Superior? Is that what it's called?
It had legs. Yeah, it still had legs.
Serpent.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it doesn't have legs. Yeah, I don't really like it. And then after that, I really don't care. I think that Oshawott's third evolution is horrendous, so I'll put Tepig second and Oshawott third. I do not like what Oshawott ends up turning into whatsoever.
I don't know what he... Yeah, I don't know what exactly he's supposed to look like.
Exactly. Yeah. I only played like this game once, and I picked Snivy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And then Zach, what's your picks? I never finished White 2, and I had Snivy also, because I just don't care about the other two.
Gotcha. Yep. So I only ever used Tepig in Black and White series. Tepig is probably my favorite by far. I think it's super cute. I don't remember what the middle one's called. I think the last one's called Ambor. Am I making
Ambor,
that
Ambor, yeah.
Is the middle it's one? Ambor. What's the middle one? Yeah. One, no?
Nope. Yeah,
probably not. It's not. I know what it looks like. It's rotund, but also...
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's kind of a chonkster.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Which is... I really like Ambor. I think he's super cool. And this is the first time I've chosen like a fire as my go-to first starter. So I wasn't, you know, burnt out on the fire fighting. It was my first experience with it, really. And I thought it was super cool. Definitely, like, he's large and in charge is how I would describe him. I think he's
very big.
He's a massive and definitely not a huge fan of either Snivy or Oshawott. I didn't like Snivy's design at all. And I mean, I usually lean grass, which is why it was weird for me to go fire. But I just thought Tepig was objectively better.
I like Oshawott. I guess I was like into a lot of the water types a lot of the time. And it kind of, I don't know. I don't even know what it was about Oshawott, but I just remember picking him. I don't think I ever played as Snivy. And I think I played once as Tepig. So I'd probably go Oshawott, Tepig, and Snivy, but I don't have a super big attachment to any of them, really.
Yeah.
Oshawott only because that's who I picked that original time that I played through it.
We've reached the point where the starters fall off a cliff. I think through four are all phenomenal. Five is mediocre. Six is disgusting.
Five is fine. I'm looking at six. I'm like, I barely remember any of these. Let's get into Gen 6. We've got Chespin, Fennekin, and Froakie. This is where I get to the point where I've only played it once, so my pick is which one I picked. And then the other two, I don't even know.
Mine is, I picked Chespin. I picked Chespin. And if I had seen his evolutions, I may not have, because they're disgusting. Chestnut is horrible. I hate it. And then probably Froakie second, Fennekin third. Probably just because Greninja's in Smash, and that's the only tiebreaker. I hate these three. I hate them a lot.
Yeah.
Zach?
It's difficult for me because I only ever did the one playthrough. I didn't finish the game. I chose Chespin because when I don't lean one specific way, I go grass.
I'm the same.
I do not like what he evolved into. I think Greninja's a lot cooler. I think the design's a lot better. I don't have any really emotional attachment, so it's hard for me to put him first. I do not like what he turned into, but I think my overall has to be Chespin, Froakie, because Greninja... way better design, even though no emotional attachment, didn't even play as it, and then Fennekin because I don't care.
Yeah.
Just so much apathy. Yeah. Just like whatever.
Yeah.
For me, Froakie was the one that I picked, so I'll go with Froakie. Final evolution solid. Greninja's cool, I think. Cool enough in comparison to these other ones. I'll go Fennekin and then Chespin because I remember that I did not like Chespin's final design. And I have no thoughts on Fennekin, so Fennekin will get the pass over Chespin just because I actively don't like what Chespin turns into.
Yeah.
All right, two more to go. We got Gen 7, Sun and Moon, Rowlet, Litten, Popplio.
I think this is a big bounce back. I think these are good. I don't like Popplio, but I know he has his fans. My ranking is Rowlet far and away. Owls are my favorite type of animal, so to get an owl starter was awesome.
It's adorable.
Yeah, and then Litten and then Popplio. Litten turns into Incineroar, who's also in Smash, and that's pretty cool. But Rowlet, he's so cute. He's got the bow tie leaf, and he's adorable. And then he evolves into Dartrix, who people often compare to like Miles Edgeworth, and would put him in like Ace Attorney images, which was really funny. And then
he was grass ghost too, right?
Yeah, the final evolution,
which was a very cool type.
Yeah, Decidueye is the final one, and he becomes more of an archer, and he's really cool, really awesome third evolution. So I like all three stages of this. Rowlet's adorable. Second stage is fine. And then Decidueye is an awesome Pokemon.
Zach.
Ranking?
Yeah.
Is it Litten second?
Litten what? Second?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's that's your ranking? Yeah, Litten what's second, Popplio third.
Okay. Oh, Popplio third, okay.
I don't like what Popplio turns into.
For me...
I don't like Popplio, yeah, no. Popplio by himself anyways.
Yeah, me neither.
Also not a big fan of Popplio. I do love Rowlet. I used Rowlet when I played through Sun. I think Owl's also one of my favorite animals. Very, very cute. Decidueye is a super cool archer. So I pretty much loved every aspect of it. I don't care about Litten or the second evolution, but Incineroar is in Smash, which does give him points. Another firefighting type, I think, would make sense. But also very cool looking. I think Incineroar's got a pretty solid design. So I'll go Rowlet and Popplio because I don't like Popplio.
Okay. I picked Rowlet when the one time that I played through Pokemon Sun. I think Rowlet's adorable, and Decidueye has a really cool typing, and I think his design's pretty cool. I actively don't like Popplio, so Litten will swap in second. Rowlet, this is Litten, the
first
Popplio
time we've all agreed.
Last... yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, last generation. I haven't even played these games. We got Grookey, Scorbunny, and Sobble.
Yep. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, so...
Some solid picks here.
I picked Grookey. I think he's pretty cute. Then he turns into a Drumpanzee, who is disgusting, and I hate him. And then he turns into Rillaboom, who's mediocre. But
I like Rillaboom.
He's my first. And then I would put... Scorbunny second and Sobble third, but I don't care for either of them. I also don't really care for Grookey. My biggest Rillaboom memory is that in the credits, when Rillaboom's banging on a drum, you see like a mouse cursor from a computer go over the screen. Which is so funny.
That's awesome.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, you see a mouse cursor just go over the credits and then go, oh, and then go off screen, and they didn't fix it, they didn't redo it.
Incredible. Yeah. Hey, man, yeah. Pokemon's got to come out when it comes out.
Yes, it does. Zach?
All right. I'll put Grookey at first. I started with Grookey. I played through entirety of Sword with Grookey. Don't care about the second evolution. I was a fan of Rillaboom. I thought it was a pretty cool design. I like the way they incorporated the drum, and I like the leaf. Like mane that it has. I don't even know how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But overall solid design. I don't know. Can't picture what Scorbunny evolves into at all.
Just a soccer player.
Okay.
And then Sobble turns into a sniper.
I don't like the third evolution of Sobble. So I'm going to have to put the soccer player second.
Yeah.
Inteleon. Is that what the third one is for the water? I think it's creepy looking. It's very skinny.
I'll go the same. Grookey, Scorbunny, Sobble. I do not like soccer, so Scorbunny doesn't do anything for me. Sobble, do not like his design. And Grookey, don't really care.
Yep.
So
yep.
There's the definitive rankings of the
There of was the Pokemon so starters, much love man. At the it, start.
It goes in the crapper after between... Gen 5 is where it gets iffy, and then it just falls off a cliff.
I think afterwards. 7 is good. Rowlet's one of the best. And Litten's pretty good.
I just don't
good.
Care about the other two.
Yeah.
Like, at least there's one solid one in there, but... Mm-hmm. Man, you look back at the other ones, I got so many memories with all of them, and then I just look at Gen 7, I'm like, oh, Rowlet's great, the other two I do not care about.
Yeah, and Rowlet's getting a bid
this
in Pokemon
I
Legends.
As, I don't care about the other two.
It's true. Yeah. All right. Last thought before we end this off. We should finish this thing. Took too much time.
I'm excited for Gen 4. I'm excited for Legends. But boy, oh boy, has Pokemon been mediocre for about a decade for me. Which is sad.
Zach?
It's very sad. I'm now optimistic. I'm back to being optimistic. I'm very excited.
Cautiously optimistic about Legends. Don't know what that's going to turn into. But I am very much looking forward to Generation 4 coming back. Love those games. All right, that is going to do it for us in this week's long episode of Ode to Games. A lot of Pokemon talk. Haven't done that in a while.
No, it was fun.
Yeah, it was a good time going back through some of these games, both good and not. We're here every Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, other podcast streaming services that you may use. The audio version of the podcast is also up on our website, odegames.com. If you want to watch the video version of the podcast, that's up on YouTube at Ode to Games, so you can check that out there. You can find us on Twitter at Ode to Games, Twitch, Ode to Games as well. You can send an email to odegamescast@gmail.com. For Logan and Zach, I'm Kevin. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.